Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We are glad you're here. If you are a visitor among us, we are especially glad you're here, and we would invite you to register your attendance and let us know that how to contact you so we can be in touch and extend a warm welcome. If you don't know the folks that are sitting around you, I invite you to say hello, introduce yourself, because we want to be welcoming and hospitable to all. I have a couple of announcements this morning. Our Habitat Build is coming up, and you can sign up for that in Reed Hall after the service. There is more information about that in your bulletin, as well as information about the family who will receive that Habitat home. So I invite you to take a look at that. As many of you know, Sean Williams, our youth director, is moving on. He and his wife, Jen, and their family are moving to Greenville, South Carolina. In preparation for a new youth director, the church has partnered with Ministry Architects, and they are going to come to this church August 9th through 11th to do an assessment. They're going to do a lot of listening, a lot of conversations, and help us to figure out where God is leading us in the youth department. And so we invite you to be involved in that process. There's more information about that in your bulletin as well. And we will have an opportunity later in the service to thank Sean and Jen for their service here. Let us prepare now, continue to worship God together this morning.
Thank you. creation gives thanks to you, O God. We shall speak of the glory of your realm and tell of your power.
You shall let all people know your mighty deeds and glorious splendor.
We strive to be strong and self-sufficient, but in truth we are in constant need of grace. In penitence and faith, let us confess our weakness to God and to one another. O God, sometimes we are like David and sometimes Goliath. Forgive us for our two-sided nature. We face the powerful with righteous anger, but cling to any sense of power that we attain. We are grateful when grace is extended to us, but forget when others wrong us. We treat our own as family, yet ignore the sisters and brothers who we see only from a distance. Forgive us, loving God, for we long for oneness with ourselves and others, with Christ and all creation. God forgives our sins and strengthens our inner beings. So now live knowing the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge and fills us with the fullness of God. Please join me as we pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." And so David removed them. And then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
may be seated unless you're a kid and you'd like to come up and join us. And you are welcome to bring a parent or a friend or an older person if you want. Come on down. It's good to see all of you this morning. How many of you have ever been scared? Yeah, me too. You know what? All of those people out there have been scared before too. How many of you have ever been scared? Yep. All of us get scared sometimes, don't we? When I was a kid, my family moved from a small town to a big city. I had to leave behind all of my friends. I had to leave behind my house. And I had to go to a new school, and I was terrified. The night before I had to start school, my mom sat me down, and she knew that I was scared. And she said, "Aaron, remember to be yourself, and remember that God is with you." The next morning, I went to school, and I was still scared. Even though my mom had told me that, I was still scared. But you know what? She was right. I remembered her words, and I was myself, and I remembered that God was with me. And that kind of helped me get through the day. And you know what? It took me a little while, but eventually I made friends, and I loved living there. But it took a little while, didn't it? When we're scared, it's important to remember that God is with us. God never leaves our side. And that's good news, isn't it? Yeah. All right, let's have a prayer. God, we thank you that you are always with us. We pray that you'll be with us through this week. When we're scared, help us to remember that you never leave our side. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can go back to your seats. I was told that John Feldhacker would always make a joke about it being kind of dusty up here. But I think someone got here this morning because it's pretty clean. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning I want to talk about superheroes. Superheroes, those larger-than-life figures whose supernatural powers can defeat even the fiercest foes, protecting the people of the world from the grasp of evildoers. On the surface, superheroes generally lead pretty ordinary lives. Some might even say boring lives. But when duty calls, they rise to the challenge, fighting the bad guys, sometimes against all odds, and winning. Take Superman, for example. By day, he's Clark Kent, a slightly nerdy-looking reporter. But when someone's in crisis, Clark disappears, and Superman shows up faster than a speeding bullet, and he saves the day. By the way, did you know that Clark Kent is a Methodist? It's true. I looked it up. It's in Wikipedia. But it's true. He grew up going to Smallville Methodist Church. So you can file that under your list of famous Methodists. Today, our text focuses on a different kind of superhero. The term superhero probably wasn't around when David was fighting Goliath. But one could argue that he was one of the originals. He's an ordinary shepherd boy who comes up against a villain who seems superior in every way. In fact, as villains go, Goliath is the worst of the worst. First of all, he's huge. He's tall. Now, scholars kind of debate about how tall exactly he was, but most say that he was at least 6'9", and he might have been even as tall as 9'9". And then Goliath is well armored and well armed. He has a state-of-the-art uniform made of bronze, which weighs over 272 pounds. He's packing a javelin and a spear, and boy, is he intimidating. He knows how to trash talk with the best of them. In fact, he's caused so much fear and trembling among the Israelites that they have been frozen for 40 days, unable to identify one person willing to fight this Philistine. Yet David volunteers for the job. Now, King Saul has his doubts, and really, who could blame him? After all, David is just a boy. But David is determined, and after some persuasion, Saul agrees that David can take on Goliath. And like any good superhero, David defeats his enemy and saves the day for his people. But David differs from other superheroes in one really important way. Other superheroes take on an alter ego. They pretend to be ordinary people when they aren't off saving the world. Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man. Bruce Wayne becomes Batman. Diana Prince becomes Wonder Woman. But David doesn't take on the persona of a bug or a bat. And he certainly doesn't wear a uniform made of spandex. He doesn't have an alter ego. David is just David. When he volunteers to fight Goliath, Saul offers him the king's armor, and David gives it a try, but it doesn't fit him well. It's heavy and bulky, and he can't walk in it. So in the end, David takes it off. He decides that he's just going to be himself, and he's a shepherd. So he gathers up his shepherd's tools, a staff, a sling, and 5 small stones. And he goes to face the giant. I think it takes a special kind of bravery to take on a giant without any armor. Of course, the giants that we face aren't always the villains in the traditional sense. More often, they're the tough challenges that life throws our way. Job loss, relationship struggles, grief, illness, addiction. To be honest, there are more giants than I could possibly name. But I know my own giants very well, and you do too. We all have them. And there are so many voices out there telling us that we're no match for those giants, that what we bring to the battle is insufficient, that who we are is not enough. So it's tempting to put on armor. That fake smile, pretending that everything is great, even though we're a mess on the inside. Or the judgment of others, focusing on their weaknesses so that we don't have to focus so much on our own. We might put on the armor of denial, not even admitting to ourselves that we're struggling. Or we might put on the armor of blame, fixating on what others have done wrong. There are probably as many kinds of armor out there as there are giants. But even though the armor we put on isn't made of bronze, it can sometimes feel just as heavy. After all, it takes a lot of energy to pretend, to judge, to live in denial, or to blame. In her book, Traveling Mercies, author Anne Lamott talks about her struggles with addiction and eating disorders. She says, "I looked fine on the outside, thin, cheerful, even successful. But on the inside, I was utterly obsessed. I was a spy in the world of happy eating, always hungry or stuffed, but never full. Luckily, I was drinking all the time." But then Anne Lamott gave up drinking. And she began to share her struggles with the women in her AA group. She says, "I told them almost every crime and secret I had because I believed them when they said that we are as sick as our secrets. She says that after that, her life got much sweeter right away. But she still hid her eating disorder. It took her another full year before she sought the help of a professional and slowly began to have a healthier relationship with food. She says, it is finally so wonderful to have learned to eat, to taste and love what slips down my throat, patting me, filling me up, and I'm not uncomfortable calling it a small miracle. This is terrifying business, of course. This business of taking off our armor, of laying ourselves bare, of owning all of who we are, challenges and all. Author and professor Brené Brown says that it takes daily practice to cultivate the courage to be emotionally honest, to set boundaries, and to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. But, she says, mindfully practicing authenticity during our most soul-searching struggles is how we invite grace, joy, and gratitude into our lives. When we get real with ourselves, we can get real with God, too. Of course, God already knows about our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. But getting real with God opens us up to receiving the gifts that God has to offer us. And it helps us to see the ways in which God might work in us and through us. After all, God created us in the first place. And despite all of our flaws and imperfections, God still has the audacity to call us good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul reminds us that God's grace is sufficient for us. In fact, God's power is made perfect in our weakness, not despite our weakness, but in our weakness. Eugene Peterson translates this to say, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." Last week, Michael talked about the miracle of the loaves and fishes. He said that Jesus invites us not to live with a theology of scarcity, but to live with a theology of enough, that there is enough for everyone. I think that David's story echoes that invitation for our own lives as well. David doesn't need an alter ego. He doesn't need to put on Saul's armor or anyone else's for that matter, because who he is enough. A young shepherd boy with a staff and a sling and 5 small stones is enough to take on a giant. Putting on any other armor would just hold him back. He needs to be authentically himself. Because in the end, David knows that this isn't about him. And it's not about Goliath. It's about God and what God can do through a young boy with a staff and a sling and 5 small stones. We are enough. I am enough and you are enough. And it's not because of anything that we do or don't do. We don't have to work really hard before we're enough. We don't have to earn a lot of money before we're enough. We don't even have to become spiritual giants before we're enough. We're enough, period. It's what John Wesley called prevenient grace, a grace that goes before us. God's grace goes before us into any battle that we're up against, and there's nothing that we can do to earn it or lose it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to conquer all of those giants in our lives, that everything will always go our way. But it does mean that we're not alone in our struggles. It means that God is with us every time we get real with ourselves and take off that armor. Every time we turn to face the giants with authenticity. Every time we put one foot in front of the other and step forward in faith. As David reminds us, we serve a living God. A God who specializes in turning the tables on power, using the small and weak to challenge the proud and mighty, to bring life out of death, to make a way where there is no way. From a shepherd boy in Judah to a baby born in a barn in Bethlehem, God can make superheroes out of all of us. God's power made perfect in our weakness. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to turn to number 883 in your hymnals and stand as you are able to join me in our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're so glad that you're here. If you are a visitor amongst us, we offer a special word of welcome to you. If you would like to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall after this service, please do so. Another exciting event happening in Reed Hall directly after the service is a congratulations to Jen and Sean Williams, and their children Parker and Sybil will be celebrating them in Reed Hall after the service, so please join us. I invite you to take note to the gray card in front of you in your pew rack. On one side, you could put comments for staff and lay leadership. Please check the box and note if you'd like for us to respond to your comment and leave some contact information for us. Also, on the other side, there is prayer requests. We'll be lifting you in prayer during the week. Please note if you'd like for it to be confidential. And place that into the offering plate that will come by in a few moments. If you'll take your attendance, there's a attendance pad in the center pew, and pass that along. Notice who you're worshiping with. Say hello after the service, and we welcome you all. Today we offer our deepest sympathy to the family of Bill and Sue Miller. Their family are mourning the death of two beloved brothers-in-law. Floyd Piper died June the 27th in Wichita, Kansas. And Arthur Keeley died July the 10th in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And our deepest sympathies are extended to the family of William Wilkinson Earthman Jr. He died Tuesday, July the 21st. Services will be held Tuesday, July the 28th at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. There'll be a visitation preceding the service at 10 a.m. in Reed Hall. Among his survivors are West End members Bill and Sandra Earthman, Dan and Robin Earthman, and Will, Kara, Kelly, Jen, and Scott Earthman. Now, let us turn our hearts towards God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you are our strength and salvation. You hear us when life is overwhelming and lift us from the depths. You change our despair into hope and increase our joy. In our best and worst times, you make your presence known. You are there when we don't know where to turn or what to do. Your promises never fail. You have blessed each of us with many gifts, God, but it is our job to realize them. May we never underestimate our potential. May we never lose hope. May we find strength to strive for better and the courage to be different, the energy to give all that we have to offer. Help us, God, to live up to all the goodness that resides in us. Fill us with the humility to learn from others and with the confidence to trust our own instincts. Oh God, help us to believe that what you have said is true and to remember that your grace, that by your grace, what seems impossible isn't. Believing that every human being is endowed with a unique ability to bring a ray of salvation to some corner of this world, give us the courage to act on our faith. May we take hold of the new possibilities you offer each day and live into the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. With joy, let us present offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ's Church.
I wanted to take a moment to recognize Jen and Sean Williams, who will be going to Greenville, South Carolina. They have served us well, and Sean has been here for 6 years, is that right, as the youth director. So I know you'll want to greet them after the service, but I knew you would want to thank them now as well. So let's give them a hand. I'd like to have a prayer over them real quick, and then I'll let them go. Gracious God, we give you thanks for Sean and Jen, for Parker and for Sybil, for the gifts that they have shared with us. We pray that they will now share those gifts with those folks in Greenville, and we send them forth with your blessing. Amen. Thank you. Friends, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So as we go forth this week, may we remember to be ourselves and that God is with us. Go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.